This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Now, if you've never listened to Maximize Your Life before, you're unsure of what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, know this. We look at the body as a whole. It's always so interesting to be able to see patients who come in and they're defeated. They're depleted mentally. They're defeated emotionally. And so many of that times is because of the sheer fact that, you know, we try to look at the body as a sum of its parts, right? I hope that makes sense. We try to look at one individual organ system or another individual organ system, and we never really tend to look at the body as a whole. It's interesting. We did a gut health workshop the other day, and we talked how important intestinal health is. And a lot of the times when we were talking to patients about getting registered for this gut health workshop, they were talking about how, you know, I don't really have gut problems. And I would say, well, aren't you suffering from anxiety pretty bad right now? And they said, well, yeah, of course. I said, did you know your anxiety and depression can actually be attributed to a gut-related problem? And they said, no. And I told him, yeah, absolutely. Most people don't realize that neurotransmitters, things like serotonin, which majority, 85% of serotonin, is produced in your intestines. And the way that it gets to your brain is it actually crawls up through the vagus nerve, right? And so we talk about the nervous system and why it's so important. Of course, you know, that's how your happy, healthy mood regulators form, are from your gut. Right? So we don't really think about, you know, those type of issues being stemming from your gut. You think about, like, if you don't have a problem having bowel movements, then your gut must be really great. But this is one of the things that we look at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, is we look at health as a whole. We want to look at the body as a whole system, as a whole structure, to make sure that we know exactly what's going on with it. And so that's really, we look at the five essentials. So one, nervous system. Number two is nutrition. We look at oxygen and lean muscle. We look at detoxification. We look at max mind. We look at five essentials. We look at the body as a whole. And this is one where we inevitably become successful. Our goal is to look at you as a whole human, not just the bits and pieces of that, right? And that's one of the reasons, again, just why we're so successful. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about heart-related, heart disease, some natural ways to help strengthen the heart muscles. If you're someone who suffers a little bit more from high blood pressure, cholesterol, some natural ways to start addressing that. And I start with that because of the article that has come up more recently. I've had a lot of people who ask me, well, you know, if this is what they recommend, what do I do? And so I wanted to go into a little bit more of that. But obviously, before we get into heart-related stuff, let's get into some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
This article actually comes from Fox. This is an article that came up more recently, and it's aspirin save lives, but also at a cost. Here's what you need to know about the drugs, right? So aspirin save lives, but it's also cost lives. Here's what you need to know about the drugs. So aspirin is a blood thinner that works on platelets, the sticky stuff in your blood that helps you to form blood clots. Since both heart attacks and stroke usually involve clots, it has always made sense to this doctor that an aspirin is useful for what doctors call secondary prevention. When you already have known heart disease and had a prior stroke, and an aspirin decreases your risk of forming another clot. And that clot would totally block an artery, disabling or killing you. But earlier studies also showed that there's an advantage to taking an aspirin for what is known as primary prevention, for those without known heart disease but at a risk for developing it. The reason here was that you could still have plaque formation in the artery supplying the heart and the brain and not know it. Better to keep a clot from forming on top of an already narrowed blood vessel leading to a sudden emergency. Based on a number of important studies, both the American Heart Association and U.S. Preventative Service Task Force started recommending aspirin for primary prevention back in 2002, particularly for those at high risk for heart attack or stroke. However, here's where we get it. However, in recent years, studies have increasingly shown little benefit from low-dose aspirin therapies, but instead have shown a significant risk of bleeding. This discrepancy was most marked for those over 70 in a large study of almost 20,000 people published late last year in the New England Journal of Medicine. These findings led directly to the conclusion that for most people over the age of 70 who have never had a heart attack or stroke, the risk of aspirin simply wasn't worth any benefits, right? So let's think about that. The New England Journal of Medicine, this past year, so just a couple months ago, in a study over 20,000 people published, found that most people over the age of 70 who had never had a heart attack or stroke, the risk of aspirin simply wasn't worth any benefits. It seems major effects to reduce smoking, control high blood pressure, and lower cholesterol with lifestyle changes and cholesterol-lowering statins are beginning to really pay off as aspirin, a riskier, less effective approach, is taking a backseat, right? A riskier, less effective. So it goes on to talk about how, obviously I'm not your prescribing physician, so you have to talk to whomever prescribed you that baby aspirin. But according to studies now, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology made the decision this week by changing their recommendation to give a baby aspirin to very high risk patients only between the ages of 40 and 70. Right? And so their recommendations have changed. So say you've had this recommendation since 2003. My doctor said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Great. Talk to your doctor that told you about it and ask them if they know about the new research. Because sometimes doctors are up on the new research and sometimes they're not. And that's okay. But to talk to your doctor and ask them, is this still the best recommendation for me? Because the problem with baby aspirin is that it thins the blood, right? It prevents clots by thinning the blood. And for some people, the anticoagulant, antiplatelet drugs, this is what they deem are necessary. And they think if you've had a prior history of stroke or heart attack, then maybe this is one that they say, we think you should stay on it. But if you're over 70 years of age and you've never had a history of heart disease, of heart attack or strokes, then maybe you're not in that category anymore, right? Maybe that's changed for you a little bit. But here's why: when you talk about there's a risk-benefit ratio. And the risk that come with the baby aspirin taking daily is that it causes microbleeds in the brain, right? Most people don't realize this. You'll know if you take aspirin that you'll find that you'll bruise a little bit easier when you have it. But what they're also finding is that it causes microbleeds in the brain. And this is one that is not new. They have known for a very long time. I found an article that actually dates back from a research article from 2009 that talks about aspirin, which is designed to help prevent clots, thins the blood, that they're actually finding that it's causing cerebral or brain microbleeds. So it causes bleeding in the brain. That's a tongue tie, right? It causes bleeding in the brain. So they actually looked at this drug over the course of 14 to 15 years to determine the properties. And they're finding more and more that, and you'll know this if you've been on it, that if you bump your arm, that you'll notice that it, you'll bruise a lot easier. Well, what about if you bump your head coming out of the car, right? What does that do to all the vascularity in the brain? Now, again, this is actually from a study that I found from 2016. Again, not new information, but it causes microbleeds in brain, actually increases dementia. And so damage to the walls of the smallest blood vessels in the brain correlates with future cognitive deterioration. This comes from Journal of American Medical Association Neurology Online from June 6th of 2016. They had thousands of volunteers who all started off cognitively normal. Those who had cerebral microbleeds declined sooner on cognitive tests and were likelier to later receive a dementia diagnosis than people who didn't have these lesions, right? So when you're talking about, well, what is the big deal about having more of these microbleeds in the brain? And one of those microbleeds that are visible, you can actually see them on MRI, these tiny little microbleeds, they're finding actually causes cognitive decline. And so when you're talking about likelihood of dementia, Alzheimer's diagnosis with these microbleeds, you know, we've said for so long, hey, we want you to take this baby aspirin because it's going to help decrease your risk of having a heart attack or a stroke, right? We're going to thin the blood. But there's a risk, and that risk is microbleeds. And for the longest time, they've said, you know what? We believe that the benefit of baby aspirin outweigh the risk of baby aspirin. Until recently, right? Until the end of last year, where they're starting to see all of these research studies that says, you know what, as a primary, right? So if you're, for the most people over the age of 70 who've never had a heart attack or stroke, the risk of baby aspirin simply wasn't worth any of the benefits, right? So the more recent research is finding, no, maybe this isn't the best path for you. So again, I had someone who hollered at me and said, you know what? This saved my husband's life. And I 100% believe that that might be true. I'm the messenger, right? Don't kill the messenger. All I'm telling you is that we're at a point now in our life where research is supporting that maybe the benefit does not outweigh the risk. So this is one when you're going through, yeah, you know what? A lot of doctors know a lot of information about a lot of things, and this might be one that they know. And they said, yes, you know what? You know, Mary Jo, this isn't for you anymore. Or they might say, you know what, Mary Jo? No, absolutely. Even with this research, for you, it's still a benefit, but be educated, right? And that's the big thing that we always empower people to do in our office is be educated, be informed to make the best decision for your health, right? And so to be educated and be informed, when they're talking about, hey, you know, for this, we're finding that one of the best things that you can do is make a lifestyle change. Reduce smoking, that's easy, quit smoking. Control high blood pressure, lower cholesterol with lifestyle changes, right? And I'm gonna tell you what those changes are here coming up next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. She sets the city on fire, burns like a million lighters. I'm going up, I couldn't get much higher. She sets the city on fire.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Now, today we're talking about natural ways to help manage high blood pressure and natural ways to help manage cholesterol. And a lot of them are similar, right? They're not going to be a whole lot different when we talk about, you know, making some of those lifestyle changes. But here's one of the reasons why we started talking about this. And because more recently, mainstream media had come out with a research article, right? And it's funny because a lot of times these research articles we see is because I'm looking at healthcare stuff all day, every day. And so it's not oftentimes I get the ability to see this on Fox or USA Today or, you know, the bigger media or news outlets. So I thought it was really interesting, but what it basically started to talk about was how baby aspirin, which has for so long, since 2002, been prescribed, right, over the counter, but prescribed by doctors to help decrease their likelihood of risk of a heart attack or stroke. They're finding now over 20,000 patients that if you are over the age of 70 and have never had a heart attack or stroke, then this might not be the best recommendation for you. Now, again, I'm not your medical doctor. I didn't prescribe it to you, but this is most definitely one that the next time you see your physician, you might want to ask, do I fall into the category that I shouldn't take this? And here's the research article that came out. What do you think? Because they might know about the research article and they may not know about the research article. And that's okay. Our goal is to say, hey, I'm educated about my health, because when you think about who's most responsible for your health, it's who? It's not your insurance company. It's not your medical doctor. It's you. Now, that being said, what are some natural ways to start looking at decreasing high blood pressure? First and foremost, we have to talk about nutrition, right? So many times, and even in the research article, it actually talks about how one of the best things that you can do is change your lifestyle, right? Change your lifestyle. Number one is going to be sugar. Number one is going to be sugar. A high sugar consumption contributes to high blood pressure. Studies have shown that sugar intake might be more concerning than salt intake when it comes to high blood pressure, right? So this is one for years and years and years. We have learned, hey, no sodium, low sodium diet, low sodium diet. And when I look at some of these low sodium diets, it is so high in grains and sugars and carbohydrates that turn into sugars. So we look at this and think, because really when you're talking about inflammation of the arteries, that's a huge concern when it comes to high blood pressure. Like imagine you have a hose and you put your thumb over the hose. The water is obviously going to come out of that faster, not slower. And so what we want to look at is, okay, great. What are causing things to be a proverbial thumb over the hose? What's causing the arteries to narrow? And when those arteries narrow, it increases the pressure in those arteries, therefore increasing your blood pressure. So one is sugar, and that's just not the like Snickers bars and ice cream and cake. When we're talking about this, I think it's always so interesting to look at the food pyramid. My goodness gracious, the standard food pyramid says that we should consume, as Americans, we should consume, I think it's like, I don't know, 6 to 8 servings of grains or carbohydrates a day, right? That's the base of the pyramid. That's what you have on is the largest consumption is carbohydrates. Well, here's what you may or may not know too, is that in excess of carbohydrates break down into sugar. Right? Whether it be from a potato, whether it be from a banana, a piece of bread, a bowl of rice, those are carbohydrates. So they break down into sugar. And your body has something called the Krebs cycle. And the Krebs cycle, citric acid cycle, energy cycle, whatever you want to call it, takes your food and it runs it through as energy. Now, when there is an excess of sugar, your body has an overflow through the Krebs cycle and it stores it as fat. Right? So your body stores extra sugar as fat. So one, when we just talk about when people want to lose weight, this is where we tell them to cut back on the carbohydrates. But two, when you're talking about the high sugar consumption, our standard American diet is just that. Our standard American diet, sad. It's sad. Our diet is sad. Can you imagine consuming 8 servings? Again, 6 to 8 or 6 to 10, something like that. It's like a crazy amount of carbohydrate serving per day. And then when you do that day after day after day after day, it's just a lot of sugar. And so not only is it one that helps contribute to high blood pressure, it's also something that contributes to type 2 diabetes as well. So our goal is to look at the overall sugar consumption, decreasing that. You know, we don't have nearly as much fruits and vegetables, which is one of the reasons why when you're looking at what to eat, this is one of the reasons why the Mediterranean diet is so great, right? Because the Mediterranean diet is very, very high in fruits, vegetables, healthy seafood, healthy omega-3 fatty oils. So when you're looking at the Mediterranean diet, it's a good start, right? If you have nowhere to start and you're like, I don't know what to do, we have the resource of the internet now, which is amazing because you can add in a ton of that really good healthy food. And if you're looking for what is the Mediterranean diet, if you're looking for recipes, again, this is just a really great one to hop online. But again, it's really high in omega-3 fatty oils. So what that looks like, omega-3 rich foods, that can be grass-fed beef. Now, this is one where you want to have the grass-fed, grass-finished at all costs, because grass-fed, grass-finished meat is what's high in omega-3s. The conventional standard meat is more so what is high in omega-6s, which is the pro-inflammatory. Wild-caught salmon. I love that wild-caught salmon now is so readily available that, and two, I mean, my little two-year-old, my almost two-year-old, loves salmon. Loves it. And so sometimes we think that like maybe kids wouldn't like salmon, but my two-year-old loves salmon. So we do salmon patties. We just mix salmon in with like a bunch of vegetables for dinner, like later, previously this week. Another really great one, chia and flax seeds. Okay, so how do you use chia seeds? How do you use flaxseed? Chia seeds plump up. And when those chia seeds plump up, they kind of cause this gelatinous goo. That didn't make it sound very appealing. But it's actually really good if you do something like coconut oil or almond oil. You can add in the chia seeds, add a little bit of liquid stevia. I did some raw cacao powder mixed in there too, so it was like chocolate pudding. And then I sliced up some strawberries and I put it on there, and it tastes just like chocolate-covered strawberries. And again, it's also very high in calcium. So this is a really great bioavailable source of calcium in chia seeds. You can put them in your smoothies. You can add it in. I'll do a big glass of water, a couple tablespoons of chia seeds, apple cider vinegar, and a couple drops of the liquid stevia, and it tastes like apple cider. And I've got all the chia seeds. It's also, chia seeds are high in fiber, so they help move your bowels too. So if you ever have problems with moving your bowels, chia seeds are great. Flaxseed, I do a lot of flaxseed oil just because it's more concentrated than the flaxseed itself. And this is one really that I put in my smoothies. I do a big squirt of the flaxseed oil in my smoothie. It's a great cold oil, and it's really, really high in omega-3s. So anti-inflammatory, especially when you're talking about for the narrowing of the arteries. Let's talk too about apple cider vinegar. So apple cider vinegar is naturally very high in potassium. So it helps keep the body very alkaline, which can help naturally lower blood pressure. I personally don't like taking shots of apple cider vinegar. It's acidic, especially the more you do it. Sometimes it's found that it can, because that tissue is so sensitive in your mouth and in your throat. So like I said, I just water it down. So I probably do in about 20 to 30 ounces, a couple ounces of the apple cider vinegar, a couple drops of the liquid stevia, and then a couple tablespoons of the chia seeds. And it's a switch up. Sometimes water gets monotonous, right? We just kind of get sick of drinking tons and tons and tons of water. So it's just a way that you can still stay hydrated, which is really important. But then it breaks up the monotony of just plain water all day, every day. So now talking about potassium, you want to increase potassium in your diet. This is one, according to the American Heart Association, a diet that's rich in potassium has an incredibly important role in blood pressure because it lessens any negative effect of sodium on the body, right? So I don't know if you knew that. So potassium is an important part of controlling blood pressure because it lessens any negative effect of sodium on the body. So when you're looking at potassium, potassium-rich foods, coconut water, This is one of the reasons why we suggest coconut water as a post-workout for potassium. Melons, avocado, bananas, all really, really great sources of potassium-rich food. Avocado, acorn squash, spinach, sweet potatoes, salmon, pomegranate, white beans, bananas. I always just think about the natural fruits and vegetables when we have dinner and how vibrant our food is. You know, it's so vibrant and it's colorful. And again, those are when you're talking about wild-caught salmon, avocado, spinach, sweet potatoes. Those are oftentimes foods that run right alongside with that Mediterranean diet. It's not, you know, you don't see really starch-heavy foods in there. You'll have a little bit of the starch with like the sweet potato or the beans, but this is when it's not very starch heavy. It's a lower carbohydrate food, but potassium, right? So potassium is just a great natural thing that you can add in. Another really great addition to your diet is chocolate, right? Again, there's cacao has high polyphenols. So the darker the better, the less sugar the better. And that's one you have to be careful about because sometimes you'll find that the darker it is, the more bitter it is, the more bitter chocolate is, the more sugar they have to add for it to be a bit more palatable. So the last one I'm going to share with you is magnesium. So again, with magnesium, this is an easy one before bed. So I like to get my magnesium through Epsom salt baths. So magnesium is a mineral, and it's great because it helps relax your blood vessels and can have an immediate impact on naturally lowering blood pressure. So how much should you take? About 500 milligrams a day is a great way to start with magnesium. So magnesium is a water-soluble vitamin. What does that mean? It means that you can never overdose on it, right? So if it's a fat-soluble vitamin, you can't overdose. Your body stores that vitamin in its fat. With water-soluble vitamins like magnesium, you can't overdose. Your body will get rid of it. And so with magnesium, you can always slowly increase your dosage of magnesium. You will find that you got to optimal dosage when you hit bowel tolerance. Bowel tolerance, what is that? It's all your bowels can tolerate. So you'll basically notice that your stool gets a little bit loose, right? And when that stool gets loose, your body says, hey, I've got all that I need and I don't need any more, so I'm just gonna get rid of it. And so it gets rid of it through your bowels. So typically once we get to that point, you'll notice that we'll back off a little bit on the magnesium. But I really enjoy doing it through Epsom salt bath. So in my bathtub, I will put about 2 cups of plain Epsom salts. So unfortunately, a lot of the ones that smell really great, it says it's with essential oils, but it's not just with essential oils. It's essential oils and fragrance. So the more that we can just steer away, you can get a huge thing of Epsom salt for a couple bucks. It is so incredibly inexpensive. But then too, when I sit, I put both of the littles down. And if I can have, I don't do it for more than probably 15 minutes because I just don't have time as a mom of two under two right now. But I'll just sit for 10, 15 minutes in the Epsom salt. And I will find, one, not only does it help with your absorption of magnesium, the other thing that's really, really important too is figuring out that, hey, it helps relax you, right? I turn on some music with no words and I just sit in quiet peace and quiet for 10, 15 minutes. And that in of itself helps reduce stress so that you can relax, which is obviously gonna help with your blood pressure as well. Now, there are some benefits of supplementation when it comes to lowering your blood pressure and looking at cholesterol. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us.
Once in a while, I catch myself. Once in a while, I ask myself, what am I doing? Once in a while, I need your help. But once in a while, I feel like, ooh.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can go on our website and schedule an appointment at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, today we were talking about how to help your heart, right? Whether it be through reducing high blood pressure, whether that be through reducing high cholesterol, how do we help your heart? Because for so long, you've been told by your doctors, you have to take an aspirin if you want to have heart health. And recent research has actually come out to say, hey, you know what? Actually, now that we're talking about it, just wanted to let you know, the research finds that if you're over 70 and you've never had a heart attack or a stroke, that a baby aspirin a day may not be in your best interest, right? Kind of crazy. We actually posted one of the articles that goes into more detail about that on our Facebook page, which is Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Now, no, I am not the person that prescribed it to you. You need to talk to your prescribing doctor that told you to be on that baby aspirin to decide whether or not you fall in the category that, yes, this is still very beneficial for you. You need to be in it, or no, it's not. According to the recent updates from the American Heart Association, as well as the American College of Cardiology, right? They made that decision. So talk to your doctor to see if it's the right one for you. But what I think is so interesting is they say, hey, you know what? This baby aspirin isn't really that beneficial. If we were to just change our lifestyle, right, to control high blood pressure and high cholesterol, this outweighs the benefit. It's less risky, it's more effective, and aspirin needs to take a back seat. So most people are unsure of what to do or how to do that. And so that's my goal, is to teach you a little bit more about that lifestyle changes. That's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. You know, we've got a couple really, really great events coming up in the office. If you want to see more about those events, you can either go to our Facebook page, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, or you can always go to our website as well, which is just greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, and check out some of these events. Get registered if you want to learn more information about how to implement these changes into your life to see these really great changes. This is what we do in the day in and the day out. Like, it's awesome to be able to see these amazing changes. Now, what about supplements? Because I do think that there is a time and a place for supplements. Absolutely. And unfortunately, we're not getting everything that we need from a nutritional standpoint from our diet. So we've got to start filling in the gaps. That's what supplementation's for. Supplementation doesn't mean, hey, I can go eat fast food every single day, but don't worry, I take my fish oil before I went to bed at night, right? Like, it just doesn't work like that. And I think for the average person, we don't necessarily think it's a 100% fix, but it's designed to fill in the gaps. It's designed to help parlay what we're already doing with a healthy lifestyle. So one that I would add for high blood pressure is fish oil. One of the main causes of high blood pressure is inflammation in the arteries that happens over time. So study after study has shown consuming fish oil, which is high in EPA and DHA, forms of omega-3 fatty acid, reduces inflammation in the body, which is why fish oil benefits heart health so much. So here's what you got to look at. You want to take a high quality fish oil. You want to make sure you know where the source is coming from. So oftentimes with supplements, you have no idea. Is this a big box store? You know, where are you getting it from? Is it actually in there? What says it's in there? But I would say to take around 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of fish oil a day. This is likely more than what the average person is taking, because people say, I take fish oil. When we break it down a little bit more to see how much fish oil they're actually taking, they're really not taking that much. So that's one that they're not taking enough, I should say, for the amounts in order to see that positive benefits. So I would say 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams. So that's 2 to 3 grams of fish oil every single day. You want it to be high in omega-3. It's actually a 2-to-1 ratio, omega-6 to omega-3. So, but for the standard American diet, because we're so inflamed, the more omega-3 fatty acids we can get in that supplementation, the better. Now, the other one that I think is really, really important that we don't talk about as often is coenzyme Q10, also known as CoQ10. Now, the more research I do about CoQ10, the more I believe that the average person should be on a CoQ10 supplementation. And if you were to ask me, so I actually did some functional medicine testing on myself a couple years back, and I had never taken CoQ10 before. And I just thought a lot of the body aches and pains that I experienced were 100% normal. I work out pretty frequently. I'm adjusting a lot of people throughout the day. So when you told me, like, hey, you know, your body is achy, I said, of course I would assume it would be achy. You know, like, this is just what I do. It's part of my job. And when I started supplementing with more CoQ10, it was very, very eye-opening to me that this is not normal. I wasn't supposed to live like that. Those body aches weren't just like a normal part of aging. So now what is CoQ10 and how it works? So to sustain enough energy to perform a bodily function inside of our cells, we have tiny little organelles called mitochondria that take fat and other nutrients and they turn them into a usable source of energy. This conversion process of turning food, fat, nutrients, and turning them into energy requires the presence of CoQ10, right? As this coenzyme Q10, it also helps other enzymes work to digest food properly. It's basically, this is how you turn your food into fuel. Food into fuel. You need CoQ10. So it's not only necessary for producing cellular energy, but also for defending cells from damage caused by harmful free radicals. Right? So as a powerful antioxidant, CoQ10 increases the absorption of other essential nutrients. It's been shown to help recycle vitamin C and vitamin E, which are also antioxidants, to help maximize the effect of vitamins and antioxidants that are already working in the body. So your body does produce CoQ10 on its own. It does. Your body can make it on its own. Here's the kicker, though, is that it naturally reduces with age. So we just need a little bit more help. So according to research compiled by the Oregon State University, natural synthesis of CoQ10 plus dietary intake appears to provide sufficient amounts to help prevent deficiency in healthy people. However, again, the body produces less CoQ10 as you get older. This is why I was surprising. When I did my initial testing, I actually realized that how old was I? It was probably my early 30s. When I initially tested and I was deficient in CoQ10, which really surprised me because I thought it was going to be several years before I needed to start supplementing with it. So really, if you are over the age of 40, if you are on a statin drug, right, so a cholesterol-lowering medication, people with diabetes, cancer, congestive heart failure tend to have a decreased plasma level of CoQ10, right? So often people on statin drugs, cholesterol-lowering medication, this, you feel the reduction in CoQ10. You can feel it. I know that my dad, when he had first started taking it, lived at a second-floor apartment and had only been on the statin drugs for less than a month. I think it was like 2 to 3 weeks. And he was walking up. He had about 25, 30 steps to get up to get to his apartment. And he said he had to stop halfway up and take a several minute break because his legs hurt so bad when he was walking. And so remember, CoQ10 turns food into energy. And so when you're looking at whether it be a muscle, right, your legs, whether it be an organ system that needs to serve a purpose and it needs energy to do so, then it gets it through CoQ10. They know 100% that statin drugs deplete the body of CoQ10. So if you've ever been on a statin drug, if you have more recently been on a statin drug and aren't any longer, I would highly recommend supplementing with CoQ10. I mean, for me, again, I was early 30s, had never been on a statin, ate really great, exercised, and as I started to really supplement more with that CoQ10, I noticed a world of difference in my body aches and pains, right? It was just really, really eye-opening. And there's benefits, right? Because CoQ10 is what kind of gives the energy inside of the cell. It's what sustains natural energy. CoQ10 produces ATP. So imagine having like a battery pack inside of the cell. That ATP is what you need for that cell to serve its purpose, regardless if it's heart or bladder or kidney, right? It helps reduce free radical damage. So this is a really big component when we talk about CoQ10 and high cholesterol. So oxidative damage or free radical damage of the cell structures plays an important role in the functional declines that accompany aging and can cause disease. So what they found is that when LDL, right, which is kind of known as your low-density lipoproteins, your quote-unquote bad proteins, when they oxidize, CoQ10 is the first antioxidant used to help offset the effects. All right, and so when they're finding in terms of that oxidation of the quote-unquote bad cholesterol, CoQ10 is the first guy there to be like, hey, how do we fix this, right? Like, how do we make this better? How do we make it so that this doesn't damage the artery wall when we have this? Again, in terms of improving heart health, they found that CoQ10 has strong potential for prevention and treatment of heart ailments by improving cellular bioenergetics, acting as an antioxidant and boosting free radical scavenging abilities. So again, it's decreasing a lot of those known heart disease risks. They talk about it slows down the effect of aging, protects against heart, against stress-related aging, skeletal muscle structure, it helps improve fertility, increases activity of antioxidants and glutathione to help protect cell membrane, reduced UV skin damage, right? That's kind of cool. So there's tons of benefits when you come to look. I will tell you that from my component, you know, it usually says about 200 to 300 milligrams a day. If you pair CoQ10 with lipoic acid, it becomes more bioavailable. Right, so let me say that again. When you pair CoQ10 with lipoic acid, it becomes more bioavailable and you don't need as much CoQ10. So the CoQ10 that we have in the office is one that's paired with lipoic acid. So there's only 60 milligrams. So a lot of times people say, well, I would need 200. You are correct. If you're not pairing it with lipoic acid, it helps just make it become more bioavailable so you can utilize what you have as opposed to spending more for a vitamin and then not utilizing as much of it, right? So that's the one where CoQ10, I'm telling you, do your research on CoQ10. And those are just some easy supplements that you can add to your diet so that you can start seeing some of those really great beneficial changes. Right. And that's, again, when it comes down to it, this is our goal, is to educate you. My goal is not to tell you to stop taking your baby aspirin. My goal is not to tell you that you shouldn't be on medication. Right. My goal is to educate you. So many times that we have the desire to make changes, but we just don't know where to start. And when you hop online, it's overwhelming. You can get different answers from just depending on different people. You know, and the unfortunate part about too is the different information is who they're being backed by. Who are they being paid from? You know, is there an alternative agenda that they may have that they are persuading them to give you recommendations that maybe are not in your best health? And so that's really where Greenwood Family Chiropractic, our goal is to educate and to empower. And so when you come into our office, you'll see that people are smiling, they're happy, our drug-free warrior bin is filling up. And the reason being is because people are taking control of their health. People are making those changes and people are reaping the amazing benefits of being proactive, right? So if you have that heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, know that there are action steps that you can take to start reversing it, right? What we talked about today should be able to help you in that regard. Now, that being said, it's a small component, right? I have 1 hour once a week to teach you about how to make those changes. And sometimes you just need more one-on-one help and attention. And that's exactly what we do in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So an initial exam and consultation is $25. We can sit down, talk a little bit more about what you need, what your goals are, how we can help you. And it's just right in our office. We're at the corner of 135 and Fairview. So our phone number is 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Or you can check out our website, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Click on the schedule a new patient appointment. So hopefully you learned something today. You can always look in. If you have more questions about supplements, stop by our office. You can ask our team questions, have the ability to kind of look over the supplements, see who they're third-party tested by, ask those questions, know it's really great. That's what I take. It's what my kids take. It's what my husband takes, my mom, my dad, my brother. They take the good quality supplements. So you can ask those questions and get more sturdy about the knowledge in your health. So thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget to listen next time, but always remember that your power is on.